Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Back with you on The Takeaway, I'm Melissa Harris-Perry in for Tanzina Vega.
Do you know what transgender means?
Like Caitlyn Jenner?
Yeah, I guess. Like Caitlyn Jenner.
When someone is a man, but they want to be a woman?
It's like when you're born, everyone thinks you're a boy or girl, but you know you're not. You're really the opposite.
In Hulu's groundbreaking series, First Day, a young transgender girl named Hannah Bradford navigates starting a new school as her authentic self.
What if they can tell? If they find out? Maybe I should just keep wearing the boy's uniform.
If that's what you want to do. I mean, your dad and I will take your lead on this, remember?
It's a beautiful coming-of-age story about gender identity and belonging. Hannah's nervous about her friends and classmates finding out she's trans. But when they do, they embrace her, even defending her against bullies.
I still want to be your friend. You do?
Yeah. Do you still want to be mine?
Yeah, of course.
First Day is just one of many queer coming-of-age stories that offers up an alternative narrative for what life could be like growing up as LGBTQ+. And for some kids and adults alike, queer children's media, like TV shows, movies, and literature, can serve as places of understanding and healing. And that's according to Alex Marzano-Lesnovich, who recently wrote about queer coming-of-age stories like First Day for the New York Times. They're an assistant professor at Bowdoin College and author of The Fact of a Body, also of the forthcoming memoir of non-binary identity, Both and Neither. Alex, thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, Melissa. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
Absolutely. Now, let's start with Hulu's series, First Day, for folks who haven't watched it. Tell us a bit about the show and how it portrays trans youth.
You know, it portrays trans youth really beautifully. The show, as you mentioned, follows this young girl, Hannah, and we, you know, follow her through what is essentially an ordinary tween life. She is going to school, she is navigating her crushes, she's navigating her friendships, and along the way, it is discovered by her classmates that she is trans and she is outed. And, you know, as I sort of said in this piece that I wrote, watching this, I found myself preparing to cry. I totally expected to cry. I expected that they were going to react poorly. And instead, they embraced her. And she gets to have an ordinary teenagehood. And I think that is just so beautiful.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the 1990 film Boys Don't Cry, which in certain ways was like, you know, a critical, important film around youth and trans identity, but also has that that kind of brutalizing, tragic ending that I think we brace for in watching a film or a series like this.
Absolutely. And it's such a conundrum, really, because depicting the pain and violence that trans people so often face in our country is crucially, critically important. It's part of fighting for change. And yet, because there is such a need to depict it, it often means that in the cultural imagination, trans lives can be equated with pain. Because we don't have that other narrative. We don't have that other narrative that says that they can be full of love, that they can be full of joy. And so I think what we're starting to see in First Day and other works like it is the chance to do some reparative work. To say, hold on, the pain is in the culture. The pain is in the attacks foisted upon trans people. The pain is not an endemic part of trans lives. It doesn't have to be. It's coming from the culture.
I think that's such a critically important distinction. Now, one of the things I also love that you've been up to is reading YA novels and YA books. It is actually a thing that when my eldest was coming through middle school, I started reading YA books and have loved that experience and continue to read them. So talk to me about the YA books featuring trans or LGBTQ+ characters and what this kind of queer young adult literature is like and what it's meant for you.
Absolutely. You know, this, I will say, this is one of my favorite things to talk about. And as a writer, not of YA, but of books meant for adults. I almost never get to talk about it, but it's like my secret love. I only came out as trans a couple of years ago. I knew I was trans even as a kid. I didn't have language for it, but I knew at 8. And a couple of years ago, when I found myself coming out, I realized I needed these stories. I needed to listen to them. I love YA audiobooks. And because I needed to listen to these positive experiences, these opportunities that kids were having on the pages of the books to sort of live fully as themselves. And we've really seen this gorgeous explosion of trans and queer lit published in the last couple of years for young people. Certainly there were books going back a ways, but often they emphasize pain. And more recently, we're watching teenagers get to live fully on the page. So some of the authors I mentioned in the piece are some of my favorites. Leah Johnson, whose debut, You Should See Me in a Crown, follows Liz Lighty, a young Black queer girl, as she runs for prom queen. And I'm not going to spoil the ending, but I will say it's beautiful to listen to. It's beautiful to read. And Leah spoke quite movingly to me about the way that she was writing scenes for Liz, her main character, even as she was living them, because she, like me, didn't come out until later. And she was figuring out who she was and how to live openly as who she was, and realizing that she needed to sort of follow this reparative path of Liz Lighty and have Liz have these experiences for her. Another favorite, she's got an upcoming book called Rise to the Sun, highly recommended, that will be out July 6th. Another author I just adore is Kaysen Callender. They've got a couple of books out now, but I love Felix Ever After, which follows a trans youth navigating their intersectional identities and how to live in the world as who they are fully.
It seems to me that this is part of the depth of shared humanity, these moments of transformation and coming into our authenticity, sort of regardless of whether one is cis or trans, whether one self-identifies as straight or as queer, that part of what YA gives us are those moments literally of transformation and of identity seeking.
Absolutely. YA lets us experience, without sort of cringing or without sarcasm, really authentic emotional moments. Because one of the things that teenagers do so beautifully is they live their emotions. And as adults, we're often sort of told not to. We're given a message not to take that risk, not to be brave in that way. And yet we actually face various sorts of comings out all through our lives, right? And certainly for trans and queer people, there's just endless coming out. We actually face big moments in our friendships, big moments in which we have to be brave about who we are and we fear rejection. That happens all throughout our lives. And so YA helps teach us actually how to do that, how to hold space for who we really are.
And hopefully how to find love and not critical, nasty, evil kind of anti-trans legislation that we have seen in recent months. I so appreciate this opportunity to talk about the joyous and the celebratory depictions of trans life in children and YA media. I encourage everyone to read the piece by Alex Marzano-Lesnovich, who is assistant professor at Bowdoin College and author of the forthcoming Both and Neither, or maybe Both and Neither. Alex, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.